You are listening to Believe, Strive, Achieve, Endurance Podcast with Diogo Custodio. If this is your first time listening, then thanks so much for coming. Get ready and enjoy the show.
Hello everyone. Welcome to the Believe, Strive, Achieve, Endurance Podcast. My name is Diogo. Today I have Philip Hatzis, the founder of Try Training Harder. How are you, Philip?
Hi, Diogo. I'm good. How are you?
I am very good. Just came from a very nice holiday, so I'm feeling amazing.
Yeah, you look like you had a fantastic time. So, welcome back.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Ready to work now. So today we're going to talk about, I would say, one of the main core business of Try Training Harder, which is the training camps. But before we go into details of training camps, I would like to know how you got the idea of doing training camps.
Sure. So you're right. We started off as a business many, many, many moons ago, where we offered training camps. And so from a historic and a pragmatic perspective, you know, this is sort of where we started and what we did initially. How we got into it was, believe it or not, we were in the Algarve and it was really sunny, really warm, and the roads were fantastic. And I was doing what I class as a training escape. Maybe we can discuss the difference between a training escape and a training camp. I was doing a training escape with a friend of mine, and you know, we thought this was amazing as a location to do training for endurance sports, triathlon and Ironman in particular. And we ended up deciding that if we loved it, then maybe we could encourage some other people to come along and join us and do training camps for other people as well. So the idea sort of spawned out of, wow, this is an amazing location to do training. And then from that, we built kind of a business, Try Training Harder, around training camps. Obviously, we've pivoted and changed things a lot since then. And now I'd say we were a coaching company who also does training camps. But training camps is still where we started. And I think that's a really nice thing, actually, because I mean, from a business owner's perspective, like, I love training camps, not just because of what you get to do on them, but I do think they're an amazing experience and something which a lot of people should try and do if they can do, because the idea of immersing yourself in training for a bit can be quite daunting, but it's actually amazing.
When you guys started the training camps in the Algarve, was Try Training Harder the only company doing them officially there? Or
in the Algarve?
Yes.
I think so. There might have been one other, or one other started quite close to us. I know there were definitely a few, governing bodies who were maybe doing things down there. I recall one time, maybe year two of running camps, that I was waiting at the Faro airport and for my bicycle, and there was three or four other guys who looked like they were quite athletic, and it was part of the Cervelo test team who were over to do some training and I guess a bit of a recce ahead of the Vuelta Algarve. Oh, yeah. So there was definitely people who knew about doing training down there, but it wasn't on the radar in terms of, you know, the Mallorcas or the Lanzarotes or the Canary Islands, where people know about those locations. The Algarve wasn't really discussed about at all.
Mm-hmm. And today is the main place for Try Training Harder to organize the training camps, correct?
Well, yeah, we've got a few locations, but the Algarve is definitely still, if you like, the flagship, the kind of the location that we started, and you know, we still go back to year and year. Because of the fact it is just brilliant.
I remember the first time I went to Algarve to the training camp was as an athlete, not as a coach. And it was the same way. We're a group of friends training all together. And what a better location than the south of Portugal, where it's sunny all year. It's cheap. So let's get together and do some nice training there. And I remember in one of those moments to pass by a group of red jerseys on the bike. I was like, interesting. And later I found out that was Try Training Harder doing a training camp in the Algarve.
So let me get straight. You passed us or did we pass you?
Oh, we crossed each other. We didn't go over you guys. Come on, we crossed each other. But I remember seeing a group of 8-10 people riding the bikes together with all the same jerseys. I was like, is that a cycling team? Or then later I found out it was Try Training Harder because I started working with you guys and it was the same jersey. But yeah, I agree with you. I know I can be a little bit how should I say it? I'm Portuguese. Algarve is in Portugal, so it can be quite tricky for me to say it. But I think Algarve is a perfect location for training camps. In my perspective, I wish the Portuguese government could make more facilities to do that. It's a shame that the tourism side of things don't put more effort in bringing more sport facilities to the area. However, I think that the way we organize things in Algarve has been quite well organized, and we can see by the numbers have been always good every single year, even after COVID. So yeah, I can agree with you that Algarve is a perfect location for training. I usually say that it never rains in Algarve, just some humidity sometimes. But that place can be quite special, and it's one of my favorite places to train and to coach because it's good. It's very, very good. And I think I can talk about it because I have been in very different places around the world doing training camps. And I always say that Algarve is my favorite one.
Yep.
But speaking about locations, what are the locations we have in terms of training camps?
I was sat there listening to you, and I was sort of what I hope that as we have a conversation, we are very passionate about the locations we choose for training camps. Most of them come out of an opportunity. The Algarve is a great example of it. You know, I was there with some friends and thought this was a pretty cool location to train in, and then almost by accident we tried to do something there and afterwards found out just how amazing it really was compared to other locations. But I was thinking as you were talking that it's really, I think, important that we both, as we go through it, because we both love it over there and other locations, that we're quite careful that we're also trying to give the athletes that kind of the real tools to be help them decide how to create a training experience which is really positive. But in answer to your question, we've had training camps, obviously in the Algarve now for 14 years. Coming, it'll be our 14th year of training camps down in the Algarve. Obviously, a couple of years interrupted through COVID. Otherwise, we've been out there pretty much every year. And then we've launched a few other places over the years. We launched a camp in Greece for about 3 or 4 years. Unfortunately, the accommodation option sort of fell through after a while, but we had a fantastic place and a really magical island over there. I know the island really well, but it's a really cool training camp, a different offering, but we had them in Greece. We obviously have one of our coaches based at the foot of the Alpes d'Huez in France, so we've got our Alpine training camp, which is gathering a lot of momentum. And actually, if anyone keeps an eye out, we've just launched the prices, the dates, sorry, for 2024, and made some really positive changes, I think, to that camp experience around what we're able to offer for it. We've also got one in the UK. We've got a couple of coached athletes who I've worked with for years, and they've set up a B&B down in Norfolk in England. And so there's some amazing training around that area there, which isn't necessarily your immediate thought process around where you'd go, but actually it's some really good facilities and again a fantastic long weekend of training which we do over there in England. But then we've also done camps a little bit all over. Like, we've done a kind of pre-Cascais Ironman event camp which you've run a lot of. You've run a camp in Peniche before, which is north of Lisbon in Portugal. One of the other coaches has run one down in South Wales, at a camp down there. We've had, you've done camps in, three camps in Qatar?
Two camps
in Qatar, yeah. With athletes over there as well. So I guess we're able to sort of do training camps sort of, if there's an opportunity, we can kind of create something out of that. And that's probably a good place to sort of pick up that difference, because we both started it and we said, we're doing some training with some friends, and that was how things started. So I guess for you, Diogo, how would you describe to other people that kind of training camp experience versus that training? I like to call it a training escape, when you go away with friends to do training.
It's not, training camp is something more serious. We usually associate training camps for professional athletes. But that's why we usually call it training holidays, not training camps. We have had so many different athletes along the years that have been to our training camps. And the thing is, I was about to ask you before you asked me that question, what would make a good training camp? Of course, the location is one of the first things we look at when we organize this. But for me, our training camps have been quite, they have a little bit of, they have a lot of training, that's for sure. And I think what we usually do on our training camps is we challenge people to go above what they think is their limit in a very controlled environment that we can also check on them. And the other thing we usually offer on our training camps is the possibility for them to have the guidance that they usually don't have during the year, and have access to some kind of other things that they usually don't have during the season. I remember that the athletes reports that we were giving at the end of the training season was the training camp was the main difference for the athletes, because a training camp, anyone can organize it. Let's be honest. Anyone can go to a location, find the facilities, and then organize a training camp. That's easy. But I'm trying to find, well, I know what makes a difference in our training escape or training holidays. It's not just our staff that makes the difference. The environment that we provide is a semi-professional environment, but in a way that people think that they are training a lot, but at the same time, they are having a lot of fun. So what you and I did many times with our friends, which was going on training holidays, we try to provide that to the athletes that we have in our training camps. And in all the training camps I've been, this is something I try to give to the athletes, is like the chance of them to train a lot, but at the same time, to have fun while doing that, because at the end of the day, that's what matters the most. What's the point of you being training a lot if you're not having fun? It's not always like that, of course, as you know, but I would say that 85, 90% of the time, we are enjoying a lot what we do there, and also for the athletes.
I think that's an interesting... you kind of covered across the range of that whole range of what training camps are and training escapes. And I think if you were to try and summarize that, or if I was trying to summarize what you said, that you've got training, which you're doing at home, that's happening normally. A training escape is essentially we do the same thing or progression off the same thing. You might overload a little bit. It's just an overload week, but in a location which is slightly different. Now that has its real benefits. And I'm not going to say that you shouldn't ever do that. It will almost certainly be cheaper than trying to go in a full-on training camp. But you know, if you lift yourself up, go somewhere else, the environment's better, the facilities are tidier, there's access to things more easily. That training escape, go out and do the training in another location, you might have friends there, you might not, is a fantastic way to have an overload week. And that is usually the main focus that you're going to have. At the other end of the spectrum, you mentioned at the beginning, the pro teams, the kind of governing bodies, they've got a training camp, and it's sort of there's almost that more structure and discipline which comes into that experience. And I think that you can have something which is a mix of both of them. And we probably sit in terms of what we're offering, in terms of the structure and the that side of things, much more in the kind of the camp aspect mm-hmm. of it. And we've got coaching, all our camps are coach led. So you've got coaches and experience and advice. You ask for it, it's there. We've got nutrition and catering on most of them as well, linked into the training that you're going. So you're going to have that really cool, almost professional level athlete experience. But one of the key things that we're always trying to recognize is that there is a lot of really good stuff about just being in a training escape environment, which is the people around you and the environment, and that has to come through. Now, quite often when you look at the professional teams, a training camp is a little bit more around testing. They'll have a look at an opportunity to have sports psychologists, sports biomechanists. You have the physiologist there as well. You have a real opportunity to bring in the experts together, because the athletes, who are usually spread all over the potentially the world, something all in one place. So you want to try and do as much as you can around that. There'll be media, there'll be sponsorship, there'll be things like that, which they're all trying to get done for that one period. And it's much more almost commercially driven. And I think that when you look at those differences, that can sometimes help you understand kind of where where things are at. There's real purpose, and everything that you're doing is planned within a training camp. You know, why are we doing this session? Because of what are we trying to get out of this session? Because of, and what I hope we try and bring with our camps is somewhere in the middle. Like, we're trying to have that huge amount of fun, which is, you know, go back to, we found this place, you found the Algarve, we found the Try Training Harder on the principle that we love doing what we were doing in an amazing location and having a huge amount of fun whilst doing it. That has to flow through to everything else that we do. You know, we're not sat there trying to make sure that we're kind of getting the perfect media shots and we do some testing, we do some interesting testing, and we can do a lot more of that on certain camps and certain weeks. But actually, it's not around just that. It's about making sure that we have that passion which flows all the way through as far up as we can make it get to that kind of structured, a bit more disciplined area. And I think that's sort of where I see it, that kind of range or spectrum of training camps. And we definitely sit in hopefully the fun spectrum very high, but we also make sure that we're doing, there's real purpose for it. And I think that when you think about the fact that athletes, especially endurance athletes, don't have a huge amount of time, they're busy. You know, if they go away to race for a weekend, they'll be taking one or two days of holidays here and there. So they don't have a huge amount of holiday days to take, and yet they're still spending it on their training on the sport. So you have to make sure that it's a holiday aspect of it. There is fun involved within that, but you have to make sure that they're going to get as much as they possibly can out of that. And that's where that difference, I think, comes from a training escape where you just do a bit more training. You know, you add a bit more volume, add a bit more kind of warm weather and everything else on top of it. And that's where I think we hopefully bring a real amount of value, be that technical aspect, be that a bit more heat training, be that whatever it might be. We bring a real angle on top of that, which brings as much as you can get out of those few days that you have, because you haven't got all of them.
And the other thing I think that we can add in our training camps, and we haven't spoke about it yet, the training is there, the coaching is there, the staff is there. But one thing that I think made all the difference, especially in Algarve, is the food that we provide in terms of quality and taste. And I know you are laughing now at me because it's something that we always talk about it. But I think
having come from your wedding recently, I'm still digesting the food that was provided. Clearly, for a Portuguese person, food and what you're eating is clearly important. So you can see how you march in your belly.
Yeah, true. But I was about to say that Scotland, they usually make a very good job in terms of quality of the food they provide. And this is something that, unfortunately, we don't find in the other training camps we provide. I wish we could, but Scotland cannot be everywhere we work. But I think that in the end of the week, most of the people, they have a lot of fun, they did a lot of training, but what they remember the most is the food they ate.
Well, actually, I'm going to pause you on that one. That's not true. We do have catering in the other camps as well. So the Alps, that's one of the big changes for next year. We're going to have a catering team working there. And then we're also having, with the Norfolk camp, there was catering in there as well. And actually, if I look back at the Greek camp, which we're no longer doing at the moment, we're trying to get back into there. You know, the camp and Scotland Inn, you know, are amazing at what they do. But why we have them there, it's kind of, this is where I think the structure of a training camp is important. Like, yes, okay, the athletes always talk about how great the food was, and they don't really mention much around the coaching and the training 9 times out of 10 when you talk to them about the camp, which, as I guess, as a coach can be maybe a little bit frustrating. But ignoring that part of it, you know, why do we have the catering there? And if you look at the way that evolved over time, was we had an amazing set of facilities and apartments which we were using, but we were recognizing that athletes weren't taking the most out of their downtime. Mm-hmm. So we needed to try and reduce the amount of downtime they had. If we started to look at more sort of structured food types, we recognized that you could go to a hotel, they could create some stuff. Sometimes buffet things were good, but it was often not very athlete focused. Mm-hmm. It was kind of not always great quality in terms of what you're necessarily needing to have. And then you definitely need to have a buffet style thing for a swarm of locusts doing a training camp. So we had the idea that we wanted to have almost ski chalet style. We have a team who is there to support the training. Bring in Scott and Lynn. There's a few iterations of other catering team beforehand. Bring in Scott and Lynn. We then made sure that they were working alongside the nutritionist who knew what the training schedule was to upskill and educate them and what they would need to have. So I think Scott and Lynn's a really good example. You know, we kind of label them, oh, it's Scott and Lynn, but the way and how we got them to the point that we had sort of a catering team there was in order to create a better training experience for the athletes and encourage better adaptation to the training that they were doing, partly through the recovery side of things of not having to go and find the source food, but actually also because of the fact that they have the food then on kind of in their apartments ready to go. And that's the same approach that we've taken to the other locations that we've had. So I think they're a really good example, not off kind of isn't it amazing and, you know, you get your food cooked for you. And, you know, the best thing about them, I think, is I've yet to find them. And this is the gauntlet that I will ask anybody listening to this to kind of come up with is, to date, we haven't found an athlete who comes to us and says, you know, I'm a little bit of a difficult person because I have these dietary requirements. We've not found something yet that makes Scott and them be like, well, you know, I'm not really too sure what to do here. They have an answer, an athletic answer for every single one of those questions that's been posed so far. But you know, that for me is a really great example of the fact that we take how do we make these training experiences better for people and how can we make them get more out of the time that they have whilst keeping the dose of fun and also keeping the training sort of enjoyable.
That makes me remember the time I went for a training camp in Algarve on my own. It was in 2021. And I was there on my own doing a lot of training that you were giving me to do. And I remember every time I got home, just the fact I had to think what I needed to eat and then I had to cook and then eat my meals. The amount of time I was losing with that would be very good to get some rest. We don't have that in our training camps now in the other locations because someone is thinking about that for us. And that makes a huge difference because I remember when I was doing a lot of training, especially after a long day of cycling, getting back to the apartment and still have to cook my lunch, dinner, whatever it was, and think about what my body needed to have in order to give back my energy levels to normal. It was so hard, and is the last thing you want to think about is what I need to eat, what I'm going to cook, and then have to have the meal. And usually the fastest solution is go to junk food, and because it's fast, you feel satisfied at the moment, although we know in terms of nutrition, is not recommended at all. But I remember that when I was on my own, thinking about that was hard. And as you said, having someone cooking for us, having a catering team, to worry about that instead of the athletes or the coaches, it's a plus. And it makes the difference in the end of the week. That's why everyone remembers the food, not the coaching.
That's true. That is true. Although I think, again, if you look at the offering around that coaching, you mentioned the athlete reports that we do. And again, the athlete reports are a really good example of an evolution of how we did things. And actually, jokingly, almost, because they do take a bit of time for the coaches to prepare, but they also help save a lot of time because before we had them, athletes would ask us for things all the time. And now we can say, yeah, we'll give that information to you at the end of the week in an athlete report. It'll all be there. But before then, there was always these questions. They wanted to know more about this. Can I have this video? Can I see this? What else can I get out of it? And so, again, that coaching, how that coaching has developed. If you think about those training, sort of professional teams where they have all the people and the athlete, can almost all the athletes being in one place allows everyone else to go to that location. We're running things slightly differently because you suddenly have the coach or the coaches in one location and then you bring the athletes on top of it. And that means that you're going to get all that experience and knowledge much more easily. So it's almost the other way around, I guess, from how that model is done. Instead of trying to bring everybody, to where all the athletes are, we're coming from literally all around the world. We've had people from all over. You know, we're actually trying to get it so that knowledge and experience is there and so that you can tap into it, which goes back to the make sure that every session is linked in. You've got, you know, and coaches watching you helps. You know, we can't all be fortunate enough to have coaches watching every single session. But, you know, that touch point with a coach for a week or a weekend can be really powerful in terms of some of the interventions that they can make.
The other thing good about the reports is we have a lot of returning customers. And it's very interesting to see the differences between the first time they were recorded and we had the access to the videos on the athlete reports. And then when they get to the training camp the year after or two, 3 years after, and we see the difference on the things they worked that we told them to work on. And they can see themselves improving. That's also very good. And I think that the athlete reports, I know it's a lot of work for the coaches, but for the athletes, it's very, very good. It's a very good information and very good feedback. I didn't know that we never had, well, we didn't have that all the time before. Because when I started working with Tretrin and Harder, the athlete reports were already something we had to do.
I can't remember when we started doing them. It would have been a few years in, but they weren't always there. We used to just do camps. And again, that's sort of, I say proudly as a coach and as someone who's been in part of the coaching team, the head coaching team, and I think it's a really important part of what we do, partly from a coach's angle to make sure that we consolidate all the information and we're giving a really clear message to the athletes. That's, I believe, a professional standard to which coaches should be operating at. But from the athlete's perspective as well, to be able to leave there and have their experience and be like, okay, well, what actually was spoken about? Because there's a huge amount of experience and knowledge that you're tapping into. Now, you could be sat there on a ride with a coach for a couple of hours going around the roads and be like chatting around all sorts of things and not really remembering half of those conversations. So if we as a coach can put some of that or links into some of those conversations within those athlete reports, it can be really powerful. And again, it kind of highlights why, go back to how we started as a training camp company, and now we're looking at being a coaching entity which delivers, amongst other things, training camps. You know, that training camp experience is a coaching one. It's like a big block of coaching sessions. So I set up Try Training Harder whilst at university with a couple of friends. And so realistically, setting up a training camp location can be done by a bunch of students. Whereas what we're offering is a significant level of experience and coaching knowledge on top of that, which is sort of where we do sit differently to a lot of other entities. And, you know, this is, we do this as a coaching service rather than, just a training escape or go away with a coach or anything. But I think one of the things I was asked to do recently from our marketing team was to go through and write a whole bunch of essentially articles on how-tos around training camps. And I both liked it because it was quite nice to go back to the roots about why we did things, but also I really disliked it because I hate writing sales-based content. I find that really frustrating. However, I did as instructed, and we put some things together. And yeah, there was, ignoring the language, which is obviously sales-based, it did strike me that when you look at athletes or when you look at the training camp offerings, they are so good for athletes. Why do athletes enjoy doing them? You mentioned the people who keep on coming back to our ones, but generally speaking, people keep on going and doing these experiences. Over the time that we've been working in the Algarve, although we've been working in other areas, I've been heavily involved in some of the conversations with some of the accommodation suppliers, and golf was a really big conversation. Golf and the Algarve kind of go hand in hand. But as things have grown, actually endurance and endurance sports has been as big an industry or marketplace for the Algarve as golf has. And we've seen a bit of a decline in that golf market. So, that experience, people really do enjoy it. And I would kind of, as I was going through that, I said, why is it that, people want to go and do it? And I think that for me is as a thing, if you've never done it before, you are really missing out. But it's quite difficult to quantify. So how would you explain to someone who's never really done a camp why they should go on a training escape or training, just basically if they take their sport and they do it and go somewhere else, why should they go and do that? Apart from the obvious one, which is go somewhere warmer where you can get slightly better weather, because everyone can appreciate playing golf in the sunshine, but that's no different to doing a cycling in the sunshine.
I think it's a combination of a lot of things happening that week. First of all, we need to think that people are going to meet new people. Usually. So sometimes we have groups that know each other, but most of the times people don't know each other. And everyone is there to do the same, which is training, have fun, and improve their fitness, period, or prepare for a race. And the location, of course, it's beautiful. We know Algarve quite well, so we know that Algarve is a beautiful place. However, as I said before, we have different locations, and I have been fortunate enough to be in most of them. Just UK is the one I haven't been yet. But changing the environment in terms of your mindset, it makes such a difference, because you get into that routine, training every single day in the same places, with usually the same landscape, with the same people. And when you get the chance to change a little bit, even if it's just for a few days or a week, that thing for your mind, it plays a huge, huge difference. And even for us coaches, when we are working in Algarve, we have the chance to have a different group every single week. So every week for us is different. Although you are in the same location, every single week is different. And I remember when we used to do 4 or 5 months of training camps, at the end of the season, it was so different. But going back to your question, I think what makes it so good and makes people to return is that have a very good training block, so they don't have to work. They don't have to think about work or their jobs or their normal lives back home. So they escape the routine. That's why maybe you call it the training escape. You have fun, a lot of fun. Our staff usually is quite nice, and we try to provide a very good experience. But I think that the changing on the routine that you have back home makes a huge difference. Otherwise, if you want to spend holidays, you wouldn't go away. You should just stay at home and resting. So that's why people usually go on holidays. It can be in other places of the country, or it can be overseas. And with training camps, it's the same. So if you can go away to some other places, to some other locations, and see something different in a beautiful weather most of the times, well, people have nice memories, how they want to go back. I remember the training camp we did in Greece. It was beautiful. It's a shame I didn't go back to it after the first time I went, but I loved it. It was amazing. And once again, I'm fortunate enough to be in a country where sun shines more than 300 days a year. But however, that training camp was amazing. I would say it's a combination of a lot of stuff. The location, the weather, people you know, the training block you do, being away of work, being away of routine, most of the times being away of kids. And I think that makes people want to get back to training camps.
I think one of the things which I was, as we were saying just then, I was just thinking, what would stop people? And I think one of the biggest things that people feel about training camps, and you mentioned at the beginning, you know, training camps, professional teams, etc., is I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. And I think that is probably one of the biggest barriers. I mean, we had an athlete, I'm not going to mention names. If they listen to this, I'm fairly certain they'll be able to identify it straight away. An athlete recently who was in tears before we even had the briefing on the first day of the training camp about the fact that they didn't genuinely believe that they were good enough in order to attend the camp, because they felt that everyone else was different and better. And I think that with a sport like triathlon, everyone is strong at one sport and everyone has a weakness. Everyone has an area that they're working on. It's very rare that you're going to find athletes who are really good at all three. And if they are really good at all three, they probably still remember when they weren't good at all three. And they will feel that there's always one area that they're working on. And because of that, I think it's a very humbling sport. So for a sport like triathlon, if you're not good enough on the bike, you're probably fast enough in the pool, or you're strong enough on the run. So it can be a very inclusive environment to be part of. And that's obviously something which, as a coaching team, we're very conscious of as well, to try and make that inclusive, that emotionally safe, the psychologically safe environment for people to train in. Because if it's psychologically and emotionally safe, and physically safe as well, in terms of, you know, health and safety aspect of it, but if it's got all those three aspects to it, we're going to have an environment where people can really flourish and they can really dive into how they can improve. So it's on us to try and make that environment as it is. But I think that the first thing is people thinking, I'm just not good enough. And the answer is pretty much always, you almost certainly are good enough if you've got the right mentality. If you're willing to say, I'll give this a go, then we can work with that. Now, as a coach, if you say to me, I'm not doing that, as an absolute no on that one, it's kind of an absolute. There's not much more we can go from there. Without ignoring you, we can talk about it for a little bit. But unless you change that mindset, there's no way we can move from never doing it. But if you're willing to say, I can give this a go in everything, be that a bike ride, be that going on a bike, road bike, be that doing some hills, be that descending, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, if you can say, I'll give it a go, then we can really work and train and coach that in, and improve it. And a lot of what we find with people attending on a training camp is that they actually hurt the head more than they hurt the legs. You know, their head is sort of sat there and it's like, wow, I've learned so much from this. I've applied myself differently in so many different aspects of it. It's the head which learns the most. But the other side of this, I'm not good enough, is they'll have a look at the training schedule and they'll be sat there and they go, oh God, you know, that's a lot of training that I need to go away and do. And, you know, you mentioned your experience when you went to the camp on your own. You know, training camps, a block of training, it is going to be an overload week. You know, that's what training is kind of about, and the warmth. But let's unpick that a little bit more. Yes, you can do more. So I'm sat there, I'm at home, and I can, at the absolute most, a big week of training for me might be, you know, an hour of training in the morning. That's all I've got time for at the moment. I turn up and I look at a training camp week and I see the schedule, and the schedules might have something like 6 hours of training in the first 2 days. You know, I'm sat there going, there is no way I can do another, you know, 4 days worth of this and triple my overall training experience. And the answer to that, as a coach speaking to someone, is first of all, no, you're probably right. You probably can't. And you probably can't if you were comparing yourself doing 6 hours of training at, you know, at home in your environment, and you've got all the other stuff that you need to think about compared to doing it in an environment where you're able to train. So we mentioned the catering side of things and you're having your fuel there, but also think about all the other stuff you're now not doing. You're not commuting, you're not working, you're not worrying about other stuff going on. All you have to do is wake up, turn up to the session with the right equipment, have a smile on your face, get ready for a bit of a few laughs, and then do the training, and then eat, recover, and do the next set of training sessions. And you keep on doing that. So your ability to recover from a training session is hugely improved. So athletes can do more. And that's one of the big things I think that people suddenly realize as they start going and finding themselves in an environment like a training camp, is that you can do more training than what you're used to doing at home because you're facilitating better recovery, which means you're still adapting from it. And on top of that, training by its very nature in a training camp is designed to be slightly overreaching. Functional overreaching, which is a technical term, but essentially it means that you are able to do that and then we back off afterwards and we recover. Now, that is really hard to get right if you're on your own. If you've got people advising you and watching you, it's going to be a lot easier. And again, when you have that first time on a training camp looking at the training training week, like, well, I can't, there's no way I can do that. I look at this, the block of training, is like, that looks like I'm on the bike for 12 hours. I'm not doing a 12-hour ride. I'm only racing for a sprint distance. You know, how does this possibly compute? It doesn't really make sense. And then on the flip side, you've also got athletes who sit there and go, that doesn't look like a training camp. That's not really hard. And again, that's because I think a lot of people are stuck in that volume-orientated approach, and they're not really training. They're just doing volume for the sake of doing volume, and they're missing out on opportunities to improve. But that's a slight different point, I guess, from looking at that schedule. But I do think that point around recovery, ability to do more training, recover better because of the food that you're eating and nutrition, you know, that's a really key part of a training week or block of time away in a training camp. And it's quite often overlooked by first timers, and they just think, there's no way I'm good in that. I'm just thinking about doing just introduce something like a short distance or a local event. Why should I go away and do this? I'm not training for the Olympics. And it's nothing to do with that. It's about the experience, the lifestyle, the having fun, the doing the swim, bike, and run, and improving across them all.
Yeah, it was interesting what you were saying about the recovery. I remember a few years ago listening to someone, I don't remember who he was, and he was saying that the difference between the top level age groups and the professional athletes was a lack of rest that the age groups don't have. And when people think about it, when you have your daily routine, when you have to wake up early in the morning to go to work and then get back, take care of your family, take care of your place, and then you go for training. On the training camp, you don't have to worry about that, and that makes such a huge difference. It's so different when you don't have to worry about the other things that usually life brings to you. Just have to focus on, as you said, wake up, train, eat, sleep, and repeat. And I think we have that in every single training camp that we organize. But I was thinking about the athlete that you were mentioning before. And I remember that person in the end of the week, it was such a surprise for everyone, because from the day one to the last day of the training camp, it improved so much, so much. And the thing is, it's not the effort, but the quality in terms of athletics, it was there, just still to be discovered. And in the end of the week, was such a big surprise. It's a shame he hasn't been doing much since then, but still. And I was remembering the training camp I did in Peniche. The person who came to us had zero experience in triathlon whatsoever. No swimming background, no cycling background, no running background, no triathlon background at all. And what that person did was, so I don't know anything about this sport. I think it's a nice sport, so I'll give it a try. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to contact a coach who can teach me from the beginning so I can understand the process of triathlon. And that was something quite interesting for me, because I was used to coach people who had the experience of triathlon. And when this person came with zero expectations and zero experience, and the longest ride she did was maybe like, what, 20 kilometers? And in the end of that week, we did a long bike ride, like 80, 90K on a Sunday. And for someone who had never did anything like this before, it was such a big surprise. But so, yeah, it was, as I said before, we had so many different people in our training camps. And I think we are lucky enough to see them starting the process, and then see them grow as an athlete.
Yeah, I think it something which we talk about with as coaches a lot of is the fact that we can genuinely make a huge difference to someone's life. And I think that can sound very dramatic, but we can have amazing transformative opportunities with athletes, which change the courses of someone's life purely because they suddenly believe that they can do something, and they believe that they are different to who they are. And that's probably, if I think about it, one of the most amazing parts of the training camp experience as a coach. Like, I've loved training camps. And if I look at it as an athlete's perspective, when I was training as an athlete, you know, the reason I really enjoyed them was because I suddenly had a significant sense of self-belief in that the goals I was able to do, I could do. What I did was hard, and now I could do it. I still remember once when I was training, it was when I was flying out to the Algarve, actually. And so this was the first time I was over there with some friends as a training camp. My coach didn't actually send me the training plan, thanks, Brian, until he knew that I was going to be pretty much on the aeroplane. So I opened up this email with the training plan as I was sitting down at my seat on the in the EasyJet flight going out to the Algarve, and I almost died. I looked at it and I thought, there's no way I can do any of that. It's like ridiculous training sessions and stuff like that. Anyway, I did exactly what I was told, because I was kind of militant in that respect. And, you know, sure enough, a bit later on, I was like, wow, I actually did manage to do a huge amount of training, so much more than I ever would have believed I would have been able to have done. And that's, you know, that more advanced level of training, because you're looking at volume. But if you look at some of the other people who are saying, am I even good enough to go in a training camp? If they go into it with the right mindset, it can be a hugely transformative experience, because that experience of, wow, I didn't realize I could do that volume, which I experienced, is suddenly around something else, around, I didn't realize I could swim, bike, and run in the way that I did. And that's the difference of training camps. And I think that I love sharing with people. I really believe that, you know, given that right environment, people can hugely change. And that would potentially change their approach and lifestyle. In what they're then trying to do with what, you know, wherever they then decide to take it, that self-belief and the ability to do things. And I think it's something really special around training camps, full stop. But I'm sure it's not just to try training hard. I think I imagine people in other areas and other training camps, there'll be other coaches, and they'll say the same sort of thing, that the reason they love them and love doing them, if they're not working at that sort of business end, so the very, very elite performers, is probably because they love watching that person grow throughout those few days that they're immersing themselves in their sport. And I think the other thing I'd point out as well is that the ability has actually changed. I look back at, you know, 15 years ago when we started, the first ever official training camp we did, we had three top-level age group triathletes, GB age group level triathletes, and one professional Ironman athlete who came and joined us in a training camp. My legs have never been written So, but you know, we had the ability level then, 15 years ago, is very, very different now to the people we have coming along. And I think that's partly because of the sport, but also partly because of the fact that more people are stepping up and doing a camp.
True. I was listening to you now talking about that week of training that you did in Algarve. And I was remembering the week that you asked me to do when I did my training camp on my own. And I remember watching the training plan, and I was like, this guy is crazy. He's asking me to do this amount of training, which for me was crazy. And as you said, the first time you see it's like, oh my God, I'll not be able to do this. How am I going to end the week with a 9 hours bike ride? Come on, I've done so much during all week, so how you want me to do this? But the thing is, the days were going and I was doing the training, so day by day. And in that Friday, I left the apartment at 7 a.m. in the morning and I got back at 5 p.m. So I did a very long day on the bike. And because it was a COVID time, there was no cars. And that bike ride was brutal, but it was amazing because, as you said, it makes you believe more in yourself. It changes your mindset. And when you spend 12 hours with yourself on the bike, you have some very interesting conversations with yourself. And I remember finishing that bike ride, getting back to the apartment, opening a beer, like, I deserve this, I want to have this. And in the end of that week, I was so proud of myself, of what I did and what I've accomplished. So, and this is what we usually see in our athletes when they go to the training camps. I was remembering an athlete that we had a few years ago. And I think that athlete used to be coached by you at that time. And he was not going through a very good time. And I remember we went on the Mont Chic ride. It was just me and him riding the bike in that day. And it was a miserable day. It rained all day. And in the end, we did 150 kilometers. And when we were going back to the barbecue, I met him on the reception of the residences. And he told me something that for me was one of the most special things I heard as a coach. And what he told me was, because of you, I fell in love with triathlon again. And when you hear this from someone that was not going through a good time and realizing that you made difference for that person in that day for the rest of his season, there are no words that can describe that. And that for me was one of the most emotional things to hear as a coach. Because someone told me, okay, you changed my life. You changed the way I see the sport again. So thank you for that. And I know that we have many people who are very thankful to us in the way we coach them during training camps. And they usually tell us very nice things. And I know that we can impact in a positive way their lives and their way of thinking. And that was just an example of so many that we usually have. So yeah, it's very... very good for us as coaches to see this kind of reactions and mind changes from people that we coach. And as you, I love the training camps. I used to remember when you used to do the 9 weeks straight. It was tough, but at the end, I was so happy as a coach because you met a group every single week, and every individual is different, and you learn so much with the athletes. And I usually say that we learn much more with the athletes than they learn with us as coaches.
What a really special memory that is as well, that you've been able to sort of call back upon. I think that's a really lovely story. And I was reflecting on that two ways. First of all, that is an amazing story that you can have, you know, you've had that experience with an athlete and you really enjoyed it. And actually, suddenly... that athlete's also recognized it, be able to put it back to you. But at the same time, I started thinking, but that's not uncommon. From our experience with training camps, there's probably, maybe not necessarily to that extent, but there's definitely a few things that we've had athletes sort of say around similar things. Like, this is what I, you know, I've had an amazing experience, and these are some things that I, you know, really want to say thank you for. And I think that's quite, not common, but I think it's a testament to you as a coach, because you've created that environment to make them feel that way. So well done. But also it's a testament to, I think, the experience that athletes can have when they do go away, if they are willing to buy into these sort of things, actually they really can be positive in many, many different aspects, which I think quite often athletes don't necessarily realize before they start. So I think, yeah, well done to you and well done to that athlete all round.
Anyway, thinking about the future, what can we expect in terms of training camps for the future on Try Training Harder, Philip?
Well, we're coming out of an interesting time at the moment as a provider of training camps. I think the world has definitely started to properly open up again since COVID, but we've had a few very rough years on our training camps from that angle. Rough years twofold. One, naturally, people were less willing to travel, but second of all, supply costs have just gone up and up and up. So, things are more expensive, and you see that across the tourism industry. So, from our perspective, I know we run things as a business, and this will sound counterintuitive, but I genuinely, especially with training camps, the passion for me around delivering a training camp is huge. So I genuinely really want to try and get that and make it as accessible as possible to as many athletes as possible because of all the things that we've just spoken about. And so, I think we will see some changes around the training camps that we're offering, try and make them more inclusive if we can, try and get more people to attend them from different backgrounds, experiences, ability levels and everything else, because I think that is such a fundamental part. We talked about that transformative experience. But the other side of it as well is, we were at the point as COVID struck of opening up new locations and growing what we were able to offer. And I think we'll slowly start back going back into that experience. I still, my training camp goal, the itch I'd love to deliver as a camp provider, as a coach, is an experience where you start in point A and you finish in point B, but you swum, biked and run in a coached environment. So not just, there's the route as an N2, in Portugal, where it kind of crosses the whole country. That's kind of cool, but it's just a long ride that you can do that on your own. I want to bring that training camp experience. So kind of you find your ride from one location to the next, you do a training session there, you kind of have a fantastic experience, evening meal, then you get up the next day, you do a swim, and it creates almost a journey. I'd love to try and create something like that. That would be long term. That'd be a really cool goal to have. But for now, we're getting our feet back in underneath ourselves post-COVID, try and rebuild up some training options, hopefully do a few other locations, open up a few things, the stuff that we've talked about in terms of the Alps. Mm-hmm. That's really exciting. We're able to bring a different offering at a better rate, and if we can keep on doing that, that would be good.
I think that's
more of the same in terms of the quality that we're delivering, and better, continually improving. That's something we're always keen to do as a company and as a set of coaches, but also how can we just fine tune the experience, but make it more more attractive, and ultimately not cost an arm and a leg for athletes either.
So there are some exciting times coming for next seasons. I know that the training camp in January is looking good. So for those who are attending to it, if the weather stays like the way it is right now, it's quite nice. It's sunny. It's not warm, but it's sunny. And then we have the training camps in Algarve in the Easter period, correct? And then we also have the training camps in Norfolk and then the Ops, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah. The full range of them are on the website.
Yeah.
So before we go, I thought it'd be worth if we just try and come up with a few kind of key things. What are the key takeaways that we want athletes to hear from this conversation? Because we've talked a lot about the experience of Try Training Harder and everything, but what are the key takeaways that we can help athletes apply, even if they're not coming to Try Training Harder camp, what can we can help them walk away with? And having heard this experience, what can they really learn?
In terms of the training, changing the environment plays a huge role in your training and your mindset. Being in a group where everyone is there for the same goal also helps you a lot overcoming the training week. The quality of coaching also helps you in terms of progressing and evolving in your training. And then just having someone to cook to yourself, that makes a huge difference, and especially good food. But I would say, as you said, going out of the routine that people usually have on a daily basis, even if it's just for 3-4 days, that can make the difference for the rest of the season. It doesn't have to be a full week of training, but change sometimes the environment will help you out overcoming the training that you have. What about you? What do you think?
I was thinking at it maybe from a slightly different angle. I agree with everything you just said, but I was sort of thinking more around if you're someone who's thinking about, okay, I'm thinking about doing a training camp. I've not done a training camp before. I've done a few training camps, but can I get more out of it? Can I have that transformative experience? I think for me, you need to really, so the point you said about mindset's key. Like if you're going into this as your first or your 100th, it doesn't matter. You need to go into it. The mindset is very much positive, can do, give everything a go, see what I can learn from this experience. And that's for anyone attending their training camp, first, second, last, doesn't matter. They need to go into it with a really kind of, what can I learn from this experience? I think that athletes should kind of think about the camp aspect of it rather than the experience. Like, why are they going away at that time? What are they trying to get out of that? What's the purpose? You know, is the point to try and get lots of miles on the bike because you can't, because the weather's horrible back in the UK? Or is it, you know, much more structured around some testing or some, you know, warm weather acclimatization, course recce, like the Cascais camps that we've run before, where it's actually the point about training abroad is to try and get used to the location and the environment and the race course. So really be very clear about what it is you're trying to get out of that training camp. Because I think a lot of athletes sometimes aren't very clear on that, and that could be something which is improved. I think that if you're looking at different training camps, really look into the training camp schedule and then ask what's in it for me. So what can you get out of that training camp experience? But also, how can it be adapted? So we talked about that beginner, that athlete doing it. They see like a 20-hour training week, 25-hour training week or more, and they're like, oh my God, there's no way I can do that. But I actually have that conversation with the training camp provider. We're always happy to have those conversations. Really make sure that what it is that you're taking and what you're doing applies to you. Does it fit in with your purpose of the training camp? And when you see that, don't just sort of immediately go, no, there's no way I can do that. Actually explore it a little bit more. That can-do attitude comes in. Consider the coaches as well. I think we've spoken and we've sort of taken it for granted around the point I flippantly raised, but we set up training camps whilst I was at university. I think I was a level 2 coach at the time. I've been coaching for 2 or 3 years, and I was I was offering training camps, and people were paying me money to go to do training camps. That was how it worked. But now a lot of camp providers are offering very similar things in terms of things. So have a look and see what the coaches, not just that one coach is better than the other. There are clearly experiences and differences, and some coaches will be more suited to other athletes. But actually, does it suit with what you're trying to do? Go back to that purpose. You know, if you're looking for a training camp experience and you really want to improve, your swimming, then don't go in a running coached camp. Find one with a really good swim coach or an opportunity to do swimming, and highlight that as something that you want to do. What else was I thinking as well? I think the last bit, because I've been waffling on a little bit more, is the facilities, all that side of things, they're more or less going to be the same no matter where you go around the world. Like most European countries have got really good facilities, better climates, better roads than the UK. So that part of it is usually going to be kind of reasonably nice. But just have a look and see what other athletes say about the camp, the experience, what other athletes and coaches say about the people, the company. Try and find out as much as you can around it, because we go back to what we said at the very beginning, you're giving up your time to go away and do your hobby, your sport, for a block of time in holiday time. So really be sure that you're going to get exactly out of it what you want to get out of it, and that this is actually saying and delivering what it says it does. Because I think that, why am I saying that? Not from a competitor's perspective, but because I genuinely believe that training camps are amazing. And if you go somewhere and have a bit of a meh experience, that's sort of a real shame, because I think you miss out on real opportunities. So I would be passionately saying to people, they are amazing and they can be fantastic. You know, you need to make sure they are, because you don't want to just end up finding somewhere and you haven't actually got access to a swimming pool, you haven't actually got access to this, or you know, you're trying to get on to use these amazing facilities, but it costs you another 400 or 500 euros just to, you know, that sort of thing. I'd really like to avoid that experience for athletes. I want them to have a great, great positive one.
And one of the things I did when I was choosing the training camp locations for myself, I love traveling, I love triathlon. So why not combining both of them? And why not going to different places that you have never been in before in your life and do what you love most together? So I went to Greece, that was amazing. I went to France, that was amazing. I had the chance to go to Qatar twice, that was amazing. I have been in Lanzarote before I tried really harder. I have mixed feelings about that place. It's a beautiful place for training, but it's brutal. One of the places I would love to go and do a training camp would be Mallorca, for example, Italy, for example. So who knows in the future? But if you love traveling, if you love triathlon, why not putting both together? Doesn't have to be just training, or just traveling. Combine both, and then you have some amazing holidays.
I think that's a great way of doing it. And I guess that's kind of how we started.
Yeah. Perfect. Philip, thank you so much.
Thanks for the time, Jacob. Enjoyed it.
Looking forward to the training camp in January. And then
yes, ones in I'm March. Very jealous of you guys heading out to some sunshine at the end of January. So yeah, enjoy that.
I'll send you some pictures, don't worry.
I'm sure you will. I look forward to them.
Thank you. All right. Have a good one.
Take care.
The Believe, Strive, Achieve podcast is produced every week for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at trytraininghardo.com. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Try Training Harder. Thanks for listening.